Appreciate you being in our service today. In our study together last time, we dealt, you remember, with the common idea, an idea that is very prevalent. It's heard quite often. And the idea is simply that all religions are basically the same, that all religions are actually worshiping the same God. They are just striving to get to that God in different ways. So we saw from the Scripture. We saw from the Scripture how that such logic and such reasoning is not compatible with what the Bible has to say. The Bible makes it very clear, you remember, there is only one God, and there is only one way whereby men might come to that God. And of course, the Lord Jesus made it very clear. The way was defined in no uncertain terms when Jesus himself said, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Only one God. And only one way to get to God, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I understand this morning that such a viewpoint is not in this day and age in which we live. Such a viewpoint is not politically correct. I understand that. Such a viewpoint, in fact, is quite offensive to many people. It's quite offensive. It is ridiculed as being exclusive, you know, as being exclusive. And so, therefore, many people will take the position, they will take the position that, yes, Jesus Christ was certainly a very good man. And he was a good teacher. There are others who will take the position that Jesus was actually one in a long line of prophets who is to be honored and is to be revered. In other words, while they may agree that Jesus Christ is prominent, that is, he is a person of importance, they totally reject the idea that he is preeminent, that he is above all. And they totally reject that idea. And so many will ask the question, even today, many will ask the question, isn't Jesus just another prophet? Isn't Jesus just another prophet? Now, in dealing with that question, I want you to understand something that is very important, something that is foundational, and that is this. When the question is asked, isn't Jesus just another prophet, we must understand that he was a prophet. He was a prophet. In fact, Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of a prophecy that was given way back in the Old Testament during the days of Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 18, here's the prophecy, here's the promise that was given to Moses. God said, I will raise them up a prophet. This is God speaking. And he says, I'm going to raise up to them, that is to the people of Israel, I'm going to raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. In other words, this prophet that God is going to send is going to come up through the nation of Israel. That's the promise. So God said, I'm going to send a prophet. He's going to come from among their brethren, and he's going to be like unto thee. Who? Moses. And so God's promise is a prophet is going to come, going to be like Moses, notice it, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So the promise was given that a prophet would come, a prophet like unto Moses. God's promise was that a prophet would come. And the Jews, when Jesus Christ came, the Jews recognized him as that prophet. They recognized him as that prophet, not only from the words that he spoke, but also from the miracles that he did. That's why, for example, that's why after Jesus fed the multitudes, you remember he took the five loaves and the two little fishes and he fed, the Bible is very specific, says he fed 5,000 men. Doesn't count the women, doesn't count the children. Some commentators have speculated there was as many as, I've read some who've said 15,000. I've read some who've gone as high as 25,000. Bottom line, there was a bunch of people there. Five loaves, two fishes. Jesus fed the whole crowd so that every one of them was full. And notice the result of the miracle. Here's what I want you to see. John chapter 6, verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did. Now here's what they said. They said, this is of a truth. That prophet. This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. In other words, what they were saying was simply this. Because of what we have seen him do, surely this is the one that was promised to Moses so very, very long ago. I want you to notice also, after Jesus raised a young man from the dead, certainly that's a miracle that would get people's attention. After he had raised a young man from the dead, notice what the Bible says. Luke chapter 7 verse 16. There came a fear on all and they glorified saying. Now here's what they said. That a great prophet is risen up among us. And then came the day, you remember. Then came the day when Jesus asked his disciples a very important question. Jesus asked his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to verse number 16. Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some, Elias. That's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Elijah. So some were saying that he was John the Baptist. Some said he was Elijah. Others, Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now here we find a line of distinction has been drawn. Here we find a line of distinction. Everyone could clearly see that Jesus was a great prophet. Everyone in those days could clearly see that Jesus was a great prophet because of the great miracles that he did. In fact, you remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3. The Bible says Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was a devout man. He was a very religious man. And when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, you remember that even Nicodemus had to confess. John chapter 3 verse 2. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Even the religious leaders knew there was something special about Jesus Christ. Something special. But Peter saw that Jesus was more than just a prophet. Jesus, remember the question? Who do men say that I am? Well, some say you're this prophet. Some say you're that prophet. Some say you're some other prophet. But who do you say? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. line of distinction has now been drawn. Line of distinction has now been drawn. Peter declares, yes, Jesus Christ is a prophet, but he's more than that. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. In fact, he is God. He is God. There was the clear line of distinction. Jesus was not just a prophet like all the other prophets that have come across the stage of world history. Jesus Christ is God. And that conviction created a firestorm of debate. That conviction created a firestorm of debate. In fact, we see the debate in the text that we're going to be looking at this morning. Notice John chapter 8. We're going to go through and read several verses together. And as we do, I'm just going to make some comments as we go through it. But John chapter 8, I want you to see the verses. And then at the end, we're going to make some conclusions. So let's begin with verse 48. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Say we not well? Are we not speaking the truth, in other words, when we say concerning you, first of all, you're a Samaritan, secondly, you have a devil? The Jews here are doing basically what many people try to do. Many times in the discussion of religion, discussion of the Bible and the claims of the Bible. Many times I have observed that when people are trying to defend a position or trying to defend a belief that will not stand up before the facts of truth, they will attack it. First of all, they will sometimes attack with a what we might call a racial slur. Do you see the racial slur there? Thou art a Samaritan. That was an insult of the highest degree to a Jew. To call a Jew a Samaritan would be the same as, I can't even imagine. I mean, just, you know, you think about it in your own mind. And that's what they did. They couldn't defend themselves. They couldn't defend their logic. They couldn't defend their reasoning. And so they go on the offensive and they say, well, you're just a Samaritan. Racial slur. By the way, I wonder, isn't that sort of the same kind of thing when you try to share your faith in Jesus Christ with somebody else and they say, oh, yeah, that's just the Western religion. Isn't that the same thing? Hello? Isn't that the same? Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. They try to turn it into a racial thing. Try to turn it into a racial thing. And since their beliefs cannot stand up, so they seek to discredit what you believe by saying, well, what you believe, that's the Western God and the Western religion. See? If that doesn't work, then they'll try to use a spiritual slur. In other words, they said, you're a Samaritan, but not only that, you're demon possessed. You have a demon inside of you. Now, it's interesting that Jesus totally ignored the racial slur. He totally ignored what they said about him being a Samaritan. Totally ignored it. But to the spiritual slur, he would not be silent. Notice what he said, verse 49 and 50. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father. And ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Bottom line here, Jesus is simply saying you obviously don't know what you're talking about. You obviously don't know who you're talking to. That's the bottom line. You don't know who you're talking. But then he continues by stating two things. First of all, he states his intention. Did you notice it there? His intention is not to build his own reputation. He's not out trying to honor himself. He's not trying to bring about his own honor, build up his own reputation. So he shows his intention, but he also shows his purpose. And his purpose is to seek and to judge. Now let me give you two verses there to parallel with that. He came to seek. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek. He also comes to judge. Notice this one, John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Jesus said, back in our text now, in verse 51, verse 52, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, that's in the Crocker version, the little laugh there. You have to really get deep in the Greek to see that. But anyway, the Jew, as soon as Jesus said that, the Jews said, yeah, now we know. You have a devil. Now we know you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste death. You see, these Jews were just like Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus, John chapter 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And you know what Nicodemus started thinking? How can a man, when he is old, enter again into his mother's womb and be born? You see, here's the problem. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about things spiritual. Nicodemus was relating it to things physical and totally missed the teaching that Jesus was giving. And that's exactly what is happening here in this text. Jesus says that if a man will keep my saying, that he'll never see death. And he's talking about spiritual death. The Jews are understanding it to mean physical death. And therefore their objection is, Abraham. Abraham's dead. All the prophets are dead. They were men who followed the word of God. How can you? Surely you must have a devil to say such a thing. That was their response. You see, the Jews assumed he was speaking of things physical. And since the most holy and the most righteous men that they knew anything about had all died, they naturally assumed that Jesus was either out of his mind or he's demon-possessed, one or the other. And so they asked the next logical question. They asked the next logical question. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Verse number 53. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? In other words, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are saying such things? By the way, this is basically the question that we're dealing with today. Isn't Jesus just another prophet? How dare you? How dare I? To make him to be something more than that. How dare we? Well, Jesus answered, in verse 54 and verse number 55. If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. You ever heard people that always go around, what's the saying? Tooting their own horn. You understand what that means, you know? Of course, somebody one time said, if nobody toots my horn, if I don't toot my horn, nobody will toot my horn. Something to that effect. But, you know, some people, they're always building themselves up. But Jesus said, you know what? If I go about trying to honor myself, then it means absolutely nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It is my Father, Jesus said. It is my Father that honoreth me. Now, let me give you a couple of examples when that happened. You remember Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when Jesus was baptized? You remember Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, on the Mount of Transfiguration? When God the Father honored the Lord Jesus Christ by speaking from heaven in an audible voice and saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." My Father honored me. That's what Jesus said. My Father honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. In other words, the one who honored me is the very same one that you claim to be worshiping. Yet, and only he who knows the hearts of all men could make such a statement. And yet Jesus said, ye have not known him. Oh, you claim you know him? You claim to be his people? You go through all the motions of being his people? You put up a good front, but the reality is, you don't know him. You don't know him. But I know him. I know him, and if I should say I know him not, then I would be a liar just like you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. Now here is where the Lord Jesus is going to prove his superiority over all the other prophets. See, these people were willing to accept that Jesus was a prophet, but they were not willing to go beyond that. But now Jesus is going to prove. He's going to prove his superiority over all the other prophets. In fact, he's going to do something that is absolutely repulsive to the thinking of every Jew. He's going to prove his superiority even over the great patriarch Abraham. Notice verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. In other words, Jesus is declaring that Abraham had believed in him. Abraham had believed in him. Abraham had looked forward through the telescope of time, and he had looked forward to see the day when Jesus Christ would come. You see, the Old Testament saints, and I put the wrong chart there, I apologize. That's for next week. The Old Testament saints were looking forward to the cross. They were looking forward by faith to the time when Christ would come and die for the sins of the world. They were looking forward to the day when Christ would come as that perfect Lamb who would take away the sin of the world. And he saw and he was glad. In the very same way, by faith, we look back. We look back to the cross of Christ. We look back to the cross of Christ and see that he died for the sins of the world, and we are glad. But again, the Jews totally missed it. They totally missed it. And so in verse 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. Boy, when they say that, they make it sound really old, don't they? Trust me, 50 years, that's not so old anymore. In fact, if you're only 50, you're just a kid, okay? Said, you're not even 50 years old yet. Hast thou seen Abraham? And then Jesus makes a very amazing statement. Verse 58. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Did you catch it? Jesus did not say, before Abraham was, I was. No, he didn't say that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. By the way, this is the consistent message of the Bible concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible declares, and we read the verses this morning. Thank you, Brother David, for reminding us of them. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just in case you're wondering who that Word is, in verse number 14 of the same chapter, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word who became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that He is the Creator of all things. By Him were all things made that was made. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, not only is He the Creator, He is the Sustainer. He's the one that holds it all together. But there's more to the statement that Jesus made when He said, I am. There's more to it. And to understand that, we need to go back to the Old Testament. You remember when the Lord God appeared to Moses, commanded him that he was to be the one that would lead the nation of Israel out of a bondage. He was the one God had chosen to lead Israel out of the land of Egypt and to the land of promise. And you remember there in Mount Sinai, that the Lord God met with Moses by the burning bush. You can read about it, Exodus chapter 3. And when the Lord commanded Moses of what he was to do, you remember Moses had a question. Actually, he had several questions, but one of the questions that Moses asked was this. Here's what he said. He said, who will I say sent me? I mean, you're telling me to go and tell the people of Israel that I'm going to lead them out, but who am I going to say has sent me for this mission? Who will I say sent me, and what will I tell them his name is? That was his question. And God's answer to Moses was this. I am that I am. And so God said to Moses, Moses, when you go to the people of Israel, you tell them, I am has sent me. I am has sent me. Is Jesus Christ a prophet? Yes. He is a prophet. But the thing that separates Jesus Christ from every other prophet who has ever lived, the thing that separates him from every other prophet is that according to his testimony and according to the evidence that is given, he was also God. He's God. And of course, to make such a claim in the ears of a Jew would be considered rank blasphemy. It would be rank blasphemy. According to the law, look at it, Leviticus chapter 24:16. He that blasphemeth the name of the Lord. To blaspheme means to make light of, to insult. He who blasphemes the name of the Lord, and what greater blasphemy would there be than for some mortal man who is not sinless and he is not perfect and he is not omnipotent and he is not omniscient? What greater blasphemy would it be than for such a man to say, I am God? To blaspheme the name of the Lord. Punishment. He shall surely, no exceptions, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him. Serious thing. Claim to be God. Blaspheme the name of the Lord by claiming that you are He. And so no wonder the Bible says that after Jesus made that statement, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Those Jews totally understood what it was he was saying. They totally understood that he was claiming to be God. He's claiming to be God. They know that. They've caught it. That's why, just like the law said, look at it in verse number, flip me there, Ricky. That's why in verse 59, Then took they up stones to cast at him. They're going to stone him right there. Here's why. He's claimed to be God. He has blasphemed the name of God. Stone him right now. And so they took up the stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. He hid himself. That is, he made himself invisible to them. And he went out of the temple going through the midst of them and so passed by. End of the chapter. Let me give you four conclusions. That was just the introduction. Now I got four more points. That's why I told Brother David, cut it short today. This is going to be a long. No, I'm just kidding. Four conclusions. And of these four conclusions that I'm going to give you, I want you to understand, only one can be true. Okay? Only one can be true. Number one, he is a legend. He's a legend. In other words, when we talk about Jesus Christ and when we talk about who he is, then we have to say, you know what, really he is sort of just a legendary figure. He ranks right up there with Robin Hood. Santa Claus. Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. I hit a chord back there. He's just a legend. Just a legend. And yet this position is certainly not historically defendable. It's not historically defendable. Yale historian Jaroslav Pelikan. Sounds like Pelikan, but surely it's not. Anyway, he wrote a book called Jesus Through the Centuries. Here's what he said. He said, regardless of what anyone may personally think or believe about him, Jesus of Nazareth has been the dominant figure for almost 20 years. Centuries. It is from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars, B.C., A.D., right? Where'd that come from? It comes from Christ. It's from his birth that most of the human race dates its calendars. It is by his name that millions curse, and it is in his name that millions pray. And yet, despite the overwhelming body of evidence to the contrary, there are some who will still foolishly insist that Jesus Christ is just a legend. Didn't really exist. He's just a legend. Just a legend. True or false? True or false? Well, if he is not a legend, if he really did exist, then there are others who will take the viewpoint that for someone to make the claims that Jesus Christ made. And number two, then, he is a lunatic. I heard the story of the two patients who were in the insane asylum. You probably heard this. But two patients were in the insane asylum, and the doctor was interviewing these two patients. The psychiatrist, he came in, sat down, he's interviewing the two patients. So he begins talking first to the one, and he says, tell me your name. And the first patient said, I'm Napoleon. And the doctor sort of smiled and said, really, really? How do you know you're Napoleon? He said, well, God told me. And the other guy said, I did not. We've already seen Jesus declared his own deity, right? In fact, you remember what he said? John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. You remember what he said in John chapter 13, verse 13? He said, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. Now, if I made such statements as that, most of you, well, I might fool a few of you, but trust me, Ginger would never buy it. Most of you would agree. If I made such statements as those, you would basically say, I'm a lunatic who is suffering from delusions of grandeur, and I should be admitted immediately, without delay, to the Institute of Mental Health. I got problems to make such a statement. Here's the point I want you to understand, folks. If Jesus Christ was a lunatic making such statements and claiming such great claims about himself, if that is true, then there is no way we can say he's a great prophet. Right? Great prophet, lunatic, they don't go together. If Jesus Christ is making such statements as a madman, then there is no way that we can say, well, he's just a good prophet. No, he's a lunatic. Number three. He's a liar. In fact, Jesus would have to go down in history as one of the world's biggest liars because of the fact that he lied about, first of all, he lied about who he was. He declared himself to be God. But not only that, he lied because about what he could do. He claimed that he could forgive sin. He claimed that he could give people eternal life. Those are things that no man can do. Those are things that only God can do. And if he's not God, then he must be the world's biggest lunatic or liar. One or the other. You can't say he's a good prophet. You can't say he's a good man. You can't say he's a good teacher. It doesn't fit. So the only logical conclusion we can come to, the only logical conclusion we can come to is this one. He is a Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ is exactly who he claimed to be. He's Lord. He's Lord. He is the very Son of God. He is the very person of God. He is God in the flesh. He's Lord. He's Lord. Paul said it this way, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Religions may command their believers to die for their God. Religions may do that. But only in Christianity do we find that the loving, gracious, merciful God of heaven came down and died for sinful men. So that we, through faith in him, might have the hope of everlasting life and the promise of forgiven sin. So the question is, was Jesus just another prophet? The answer is no. No. Because of the claims of deity that Jesus made, the only conclusion that is logical, the only conclusion that is rationally open for us is that he's either one of those four things. He's either a legend, or he's a lunatic, or he's a liar, or he's exactly who he said he was. And he's God. He's God. And if that is true, and according to the Bible, it is true, then there are two great questions that we have to ask. Number one, do you know this one as your Savior? Have you trusted in him, repenting of your sin? Have you been forgiven and cleansed? And have you been made to become a child of God through faith in the provision that he made for you on the cross of Calvary? Do you know him as the Savior of your soul? And if you know him as your Savior, then the question I would ask you is simply this. If you really believe that he is Lord, then is he the Lord of your life? Is he the master? Is he the one who rules your dreams, your hopes, your ambitions, your desires? Who is it that is in control? Is it yourself, or is it Christ as the Lord? Is he a prophet? Oh yeah, he's a prophet. Great prophet. But he's so much more. He's God. Manifested in a body of human flesh. Come to die so that dying men might live. Do you know him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for who he is. Thank you for what he's done. Thank you for the provision that he's made for us. When he who knew no sin took our sin upon himself, died in our place. Now, Lord, I pray this morning, as we come to this time of invitation, that your Holy Spirit would move in our midst and speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's one here this morning who has never trusted in Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be a day of salvation for them. Help them to understand exactly who Jesus Christ is. Help them to understand that He is the God of heaven, the Creator of all things, who so loved them that He came and died so that through faith in Him they might have the gift of everlasting life. Lord, for those of us who are saved, who claim that we know the Savior, we believe that He is the Lord, that He is God, and yet so many times instead of walking in obedience to Him, we go our own way and we make our own plans and we live our own life. And we simply call on Him when we have a hard time. How foolish we are. Father, I pray this morning that You would help believers to rededicate themselves, to surrender themselves to the Lordship of Christ. And may He truly be the Lord and Master in each of our lives. Lord, may Your will be done in each heart and in each life, we pray in Jesus' name.